You know what time it is. It's time for Grating the Nerd. With your hosts, Tim and Zach. Take it away, boys.
Welcome back to Grating the Nerd. This is the show where Zach and I watch all kinds of stuff, even if it's cultural appropriation, and then we talk about it. That's a little bit of sizzle for what we're talking about today.
How's it going, man?
I'm good, man. How are you doing, man?
Doing okay. Doing all right.
Yeah. Yeah. Just living, laughing, loving.
Trying.
Yep. That's what my mom's wall keeps telling me to do. We were just chatting a little bit off the air. I just got back from a gaming convention, and so my throat's a little bit having to talk over noise and drinking more than I should probably over the weekend. But it was fun. It was a good time. Raised some money for charity and stuff. So
good deal.
You know, played some games. Got to see some people I don't get to see very often, and yeah, it was a blast. So
awesome.
How about you? How's your week been?
I took a couple days off at the end of the week, and then just kind of had a long weekend. I was a little stressed out about taking my car to a dealership to have them work on it because I've only ever heard bad things about that.
It's pricey.
Yeah.
They usually do good work, though.
Yeah, but I'm sure they'll do good work. I'm just concerned about the cost of it. And I didn't get the warm and fuzzies when I brought it up and I showed the tech what was going on and I told him. And his eyes just kept getting wider and wider. So I was just like, okay.
He was like, hold on a second. He gets on his phone. He's like, yeah, honey. Yeah, go ahead and put the down payment on the vacation.
Yeah, he was like, well, if we have to take out your remote start system, that's at least a 3-hour job, if not longer. I was like, okay.
Well, I don't understand what kind of weird parasitic invasion a remote start system is. Like, I thought it was like a thing you fucking bolted onto the starter and it, when you pushed a button, it turned it over. Apparently,
I thought so too, and I assumed that it was like there was some sort of like, you know, wireless component to it to where you pushed that and then it just actually started the starter. But no, it's like hardwired into your ignition and your computer system, and there's a whole lot of like the video that I watched anyway for that for a particular model, there was like a lot of wire splicing and shit.
Jesus.
And it looked because I was like, well, maybe I can just pull it out myself. I mean, there's not that many complicated things, you know, that I've run into for the car yet. I mean, but no, there's no way. I mean, I was talking to my mom about it. She mentioned it to my my sister's boyfriend, and he said that he wouldn't even handle working on that himself because if you screw something up, you can fry the whole computer system.
Shit.
Yeah. And so then when I got there, like, I'd never taken that car on the highway before. Well, I took it up to your house one time, but like, other than that, I've never taken it on the highway before. And the whole way up, the brakes started making a loud whirring noise from the right side of the car. Yeah, it was like a high-pitched squeal that was just persistent. And And then, let's see, the traction control light came on and there was no reason for that because the roads were completely dry. And then I got there and I pulled into the garage and I'm waiting my turn and there's another door at the other end of the garage that's supposed to be the exit, but it was broken at the time. So they're trying to pull cars in and out through the same door and I'm pulling in and backing up and pulling, you know, I'm doing this back and forth thing. And all of a sudden, oil light started coming on, but it only did it when I put the car in reverse. It was like flickering and I was like, cool, let's just add one more thing to the
why not, you know? Right.
So I told him about all that and he was like, man, I don't know what the deal is with the lights, but
that's so weird.
I mean, it sounds like somebody really half-assed this installation on this remote start and did something wrong.
Jeez.
I didn't even know it was there when I bought the car.
Right, right. Yeah. Well, I mean, part of me is almost wondering, like, if it would be worth just going, hey, if you got to get in and unsplice wires and shit, how much more would it be to just put a new remote starter in?
But that's the thing. Like, I would never use that.
Yeah, you know that's
mean?
True.
I mean, I just don't see the point. Like,
yeah,
I don't like it. Doesn't bother me to get in the car and the car be cold when I turn it on. You know, it's not like I need to adjust the climate or anything like that. And like, I know when it's super cold, you want your engine to warm up a little bit. I get that, but I'm okay with sitting in the driveway, you know?
Right, right. Well, I mean, I was just wondering, like, I wonder if they would be like, oh, it'll be cheaper because we don't have to replace wires then.
Yeah, you know? I don't know. Maybe. I guess, I'm sure he'll weigh the pros and cons and let me know what's going to be most cost effective. But
yeah, yeah. I mean, at least you. You should know that it'll be done right. Like, hopefully they don't make any mistakes, but usually when you go to a dealer, that's the one thing you're usually sure of is like, yeah, it's unless something's gone horribly wrong. Like the stuff is quality, you know?
Yeah, I know.
But
yeah.
I just don't like price tag scares me too.
Yeah. The price tag scares me. And then the fact that he seemed alarmed by what was going on with it. Like, he was like, where'd you get this? How long have you had it? And I told him and he's like, making faces and shit. I'm like, do you normally do? I mean, that's like if you go to get your hair cut and you're sitting there in the barber chair and the guy goes, oops. And you go, what? He goes, yeah, nothing.
nothing.
You don't say oops. You don't make faces when somebody's about to work on your car. I mean, like, come on.
Oh, dude. So that happened. Because I'm super responsible, after I had my vasectomy way back when, you're supposed to go back and get two samples tested, and I only did one. Mm-hmm. And then years later, I made an appointment with the same doctor. And I mean, it had been long enough that obviously they're like, they don't have your file anymore, you know? And, mm-hmm. Or it's like, I'm sure it's in some storage space somewhere or something. But anyway, I went to just get tested again. And, same type of thing. The doctor, they take my sample. They test it. He walks in the room and he goes, who did you say did your vasectomy? And I was like, you did. And he goes, oh yeah, you're still good. And I was like, am I? I don't like that you asked a clarifying question first. like a conditional question, you know, like, who'd you say did this? You.
Yeah, that's like how it felt when he asked me about the damn car. Like,
right.
Who'd you buy this from? Like, yeah. A back alley.
Right,
yeah. Back alley car Joe.
Buy it nothing. You'll notice that my key is homemade. Yeah, that's funny. But yeah, that doesn't give you the warm and fuzzies.
No,
like,
it doesn't, man. I dropped it off Thursday. I still haven't heard anything. Of course, they were closed yesterday. And then the day before that, the tech and the advisor that are assigned to it were both off. So realistically, they've only had like one day to work on it. And when I was there, he told me they were pulling in 45 cars a day.
Good Lord.
Because I guess like some dealerships around there closed. And so they started acquiring their business because of that.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Yeah. Nuts, man. Nuts. That's crazy.
So, yeah. We'll see what happens with that, but you know. Cross your fingers. I'm hoping that
I will. Keep positive thoughts and prayers coming to you.
Thoughts and prayers. Send some positive vibes or something.
Yep. Yeah. Thoughts and prayers. That's how to solve the world's problems.
I'll take what I can get.
yeah sure pass them along. So anything else fun and exciting going on this week?
Not really. No.
Yeah,
I just got my annual review and that was really good.
Yeah. Nice. That's awesome. Yeah, I don't have much else exciting this coming week. Like this week now, because we're recording at the beginning of the week, but a buddy of mine got two sneak peek passes to see the Batman on Wednesday. Batman. So I'm going to see the Batman. We'll have my thoughts and prayers next weekend, I guess.
I wish I could say I was excited, but
I'm sure it'll be okay. I don't know. I mean, I'm hoping. So far, it's getting good reviews from early screenings and stuff.
Really?
So, yeah.
Man, it looked like hot garbage to me.
I always take early screenings with a little bit of a grain of salt, because usually people that are going to early screenings are super excited about something, right. You know? And so then they're like, oh, it was the best thing ever.
Well, you don't go to an early screening, like, if you don't like it. Like,
you know? Oh, right. Yeah.
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 So, I think that the those types of reviews are probably a little biased.
Yeah, a little slanted toward the positive, I think. But but I don't know. I'll let you know on Wednesday what I think about it. So,
all right.
I'll let you know next weekend, probably, in a little more in depth without spoilers, like if I liked it or not or whatever. But
An unofficial review.
I mean, it could be an official review. It just won't be. We won't talk about it, you know. Like, I'll just go or hooray, and then we'll be done.
It was the best Batman ever. No one ever Batman's like that Batman.
Yeah, we've never had a Batman like this before. This is the leader of the whole Justice League. Oh, shit. Anyway, so.
He's the greatest Pope ever.
Yeah, that's what I was leaning into. I love that joke.
Yeah.
The Protestants are really scared of this new guy. It's my favorite line. My favorite line of that joke.
I saw him live a number of years ago. Man, nothing beats it. I mean, just live comedy is great as it is, but like seeing him in person was so much more fun.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. Yeah, he's fucking hilarious, man. Oh, so anyway. Well, I don't know. Do you want to get into what we're talking about today?
Yeah, let's dig in.
I think you wrote up a brief intro this time, right?
I did. I wrote a little something.
All right.
We'll see how it goes.
Sure.
I'm sure this will be fun for me to edit, because I'm going to fuck it up.
Nah, you're going to be glorious. I believe in you.
Let's see. Antlers follows the story of Little Harmon Freeman from The Righteous Gemstones. Just kidding. It's Lucas Weaver. We follow him as he tries to navigate a world where his father is transforming from a metaphorical monster who deals drugs into an actual 10-foot-tall monster.
Yep.
Lucas's teacher, a dark, more mentally distressed Felicity Porter, can sense the telltale signs of abuse in Lucas and aims to help him however she can. Kerry Russell's character lives in a troubled life where she struggles to cope with everyday situations, and while also being stuck mentally in the past with her abusive father as a child. Lucas barely gets by at school and is bullied regularly by other children, only to come home to an otherwise empty house with a monster and a little brother in the attic. As Felicity gets further into the movie, she tries to rope her brother, the sheriff, and her principal into helping her with Lucas. The principal makes a house call and goes around snooping, when she hears Lucas's brother Aiden crying from behind a locked door and bursts in to help him, only to be attacked by a bloodthirsty father, who then, after tasting human flesh, completes his transformation into the Wendigo. Lucas is taken to the hospital, and Sheriff Paul finds the bodies at the Weaver home, and then they try to take Lucas into their home to protect him. But good old Paul Weaver ain't having none of that. He arrives in time to gore two cops, and Lucas flees to the mines with his little brother, and Kerry Russell follows. Moments after entering the mine, she finds the boys, and here's where we get our first good look at the Wendigo. And by look, I mean sort of a glance. It's in the dark, and behind a poorly aimed flashlight, and then a road flare. It looks big, but most of its features are obscured by darkness, leaving us with nothing more than a big gray CGI monster. The worst kind. As you might have guessed, Kerry Russell goes full savage, overpowers the beasts, and rips his heart out, and then turns to Aiden, who is transforming himself, and does the same thing. The movie ends with Felicity keeping the boy, and Paul, her brother, most likely showing signs that he, too, is turning into the next Wendigo. A truly lackluster ending.
Okay, yeah. It was so funny. So the reason I was glad you wrote something up for this, I watched this about a week ago.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, I don't remember almost anything about this movie.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah.
It's so memorable.
Right, right. So yeah, let's get your hot take real quick. What did you think?
So I had higher hopes for this film initially because it had Guillermo del Toro's name assigned to it.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. So I thought, oh, well, you know, I love, you know, mythology and the idea of these magical creatures and things like that, especially if we're going to do it like a horror angle to it.
Right.
It's like it could be kind of cool. It was a movie.
Right. Okay. Okay. I'm very much with you, like to the point where you made the Felicity joke, but then when you called her Felicity again in that intro, I had to flip over to IMDb because I was like, what was her name?
Exactly. Like,
everything about this is so vanilla.
Nothing like, was memorable. Just,
yeah. Yeah.
When I was writing this, I was like, I feel like they didn't say her character name enough for me to actually have retained it. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
So I just kept, I looked at IMDb and I was like, oh yeah, it was Julia Meadows. But
yeah,
I think maybe her brother called her Jules once. And I think she might've introduced herself to somebody another time, but I feel like they didn't really, not that you have to drive that home, but it needs to come up organically enough that you are familiar with the character's name, you know?
Right, right.
And it just didn't. And so that's why I just kept referring to her by other characters that she's famously played. You
know? Yeah, right, right. Exactly. Exactly. So sorry, you were getting ready to say something else too before I asked for your hot take.
Was I?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I could tell it was important because you had just removed your glasses like
I
you
did.
Were
on
CSI Miami.
No, I don't remember. It did right occur on. To me today, like I was like, man, I really feel like I've seen that boy before. You know? Like there's something about him that just stood out. And then I was like, oh yeah, he was Harmon on The Righteous Gemstones.
That is so funny. Cause yeah, I didn't even put those together, but you're absolutely right. Yeah. That's who he was. Yeah. Which is a much better thing to watch if you want to watch something with him in it.
Did you watch the finale this week for season two?
No, I'm like, I'm still like two or three episodes behind this week or this season. So I think I've got the previous 2 weeks episodes and this week's to watch still. So I'll probably try to knock that out this week.
I really enjoyed it. We don't have anything else to watch right now. So now we're watching another Danny McBride series, Vice Principals.
Oh, I loved Vice Principals.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I thought it was really good. I loved that show. Yeah. And it's got Walton Goggins in it.
It's got Walton Goggins in it again. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's fantastic, man.
He really is. I feel like Baby Billy might be my favorite character he's ever done.
Baby Billy's great, man. I really liked his character in Shanghai Noon when he was like, Roy, we always figured you for a dumb shit. Oh, he's so funny. But yeah, man. So back to this flick. Yeah,
enough talking about good properties.
Right, right. This was. I'm with you, man. Like I remember. I think we reviewed this trailer.
We did.
Back when it was. We talked about this last summer. Right, and we were both kind of like, that looks cool. And I mean, I was into it.
I thought it looked cool.
Yeah, I was like. I was like, man, a Guillermo del Toro, it looks like horror, you know, like even the trailer, you were kind of like, I think maybe it's like a Wendigo.
Yeah. Yeah. I assumed that from the get go as that it was a Wendigo.
I assumed it from the window. But I did find out my daughter hipped me up to the cultural appropriation aspect of it all. Apparently, the cultures that creature comes from don't really like you to say the name because in their cultural beliefs, like that summons the creature. And so
like Beetlejuice.
Right. Yeah. And I was like, well, why wouldn't they want people to say the name then? Because unless you're with them, you're summoning it away from them.
Like, so what do they just refer to it like Voldemort, like he who we shall not name?
I guess I don't know. And also I guess like they, I don't know, it was a lengthy discussion which it turned south a little bit because I was like, you know, the whole discussion turned to how it wasn't a monstrous creature in their culture originally. It was what somebody turned into if they were greedy and put their own needs ahead of everybody else's and all that. I'm like, isn't that monstrous? And it was like, yeah, but it wasn't a horror element. And you know, the discussion turned to how she was like, I'm just not going to talk to you about it. I'm like, well, no, it's silly to go like, we're a melting pot, but you're not allowed to talk about anything that doesn't come from your family genealogy. Like, mm-hmm. That's insane to me. But anyway, yeah. So we talked about that. I'm like, you know, I'm like, but the Wendigo has been in pop culture forever.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know. I feel like if I was a Native American person and like, I think I would be more outraged about like, I don't know, my land being stolen and me having to be pushed to one specific little reservation to live than I would about you saying the name of a mythical creature that we made up.
Yeah.
You know, like, again, that's easy for me to say, but because I haven't lived through that, but whatever.
Right.
Anyway, I mean, and they didn't even need to call it a Wendigo because to your point, it's barely on screen. It has almost nothing to do with the mythology of that creature. You know, mm-hmm. Like it wasn't even really like it doesn't even really tie into the like greed thing. You know, it's like, yeah, sure. He was like he was cooking meth or something and selling it. But mm-hmm. he wasn't like a wealthy drug kingpin. Like he was making money so him and his two boys could live,
yeah.
You know. And so I don't know. It was just that was kind of weird. But oh, man. We had Carrie Russell, you know, as you said, as Julia, and her brother Paul played by Fat Damon. No, sorry. Jesse Plemons, who was a fantastic actor. But the first, like, two things he was in, I was like, is that Matt Damon? And in this role, he played a heavyset fella. So, I like, when he came on, I was like, hey, it's Fat Damon.
I think he's played a heavyset fellow a couple of different times, but if you look at his IMDb profile picture, it actually looks pretty trim there.
Yeah, let me see. Let me open it up here.
Fat Damon.
Fat Damon. He's played a heavyset guy in like Game Night and in this and on Tuesdays. like, I was going to say, you should see my LinkedIn picture. I don't think I've changed it, but it's skinny me with no beard. And so I leave it up there because I don't want people to be like, ha, I think a homeless guy hijacked that guy's LinkedIn profile. A homeless guy with type 2 diabetes.
Yeah, my profile picture has me with just a little bit more hair than I have right now. Not willing to update that yet. The landscape's kind of thinning up here.
Gotcha. Yeah. No, that's fair, man. Let me see. I'm going to LinkedIn real quick to see if I did actually change it. Because somebody who I talked to was like, later was like, your picture is crazy old. No, it's still me. It's still skinny me with a little bit of scruff as if I'm down to clown. But it's a black and white photo too, because it was the only one I had when I added a photo and I'm like, oh man, that's nothing says like, I feel like I'm Steve Jobsian other than like a black and white photo with me in like a black shirt. Like anyway,
that's whatever. A picture of me in my backyard with like the kind of upward angle. Pretty sure there's a dog turd just over my shoulder.
Yeah. You're like, get the camera, I'm on getting on LinkedIn.
I put on a button up shirt today. We're gonna take advantage.
Oh shit. Oh man, but yeah, so antlers.
Antlers.
Yeah, so there's some decent body horror in this, which I kind of liked.
Yeah.
You know, there's the body horror of as Lucas's dad first gets sick, they call it, with the, you know, with the spirit of Wendy's or whatever. he starts like losing his hair and he gets really gaunt and he's like kind of emaciated but
a little Gollum-esque.
Yeah, yeah. And that was kind of crazy. But then, man, when he goes full Wendigo and the thing like comes out of him, I've often thought that's pretty cool when they do that with either werewolves or skinwalkers or whatever, where they actually like burst out of the body. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but you don't really get to see it. Like, you start to see the antlers coming out of his throat. And I really feel like I would have enjoyed that a little bit more if maybe we just got to see just a hair more of that transformation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. If it would have, we would have seen it just like bust through him, you know?
Mm-hmm. Especially because like what they find of, dad character number one.
Yeah. What was his name? Was it
something Weaver, Joe, yeah. John, Dinkus,
Frank,
Frank. Yeah, that was close.
Frank Weaver.
I'm not even on that anymore. I'm on Carrie Russell. Carrie Russell's page. Just in the view.
Yeah, I was gonna say, yeah, you are. She's held up well, man. Good on her.
She's 11 years older than me, and she's still a smoke show.
She's how much older than you?
11 years.
Oh, yeah?
No.
That's wild. I'm looking real quick. So, yeah, she's 3 years older than me. Like, I thought she was my daughter's age. Shit. But no, I mean, she looks, she's held up well. And yeah, her acting is on point. I mean, really, everybody in this movie's acting is good.
Yeah, the acting is not the problem.
Yeah, no.
There are parts of the story that feel a little rushed.
Right.
Especially the introduction of, like, what the monster is. When they go to, like, Warren Stokes's little shanty by the river or whatever the fuck that was.
Right.
And they're sitting at the picnic table under the tent. And he's like, well, that's not a deer antler. It can only be this. And then he looks over and hands them a book. And there's a crudely drawn illustration of a Wendigo. And I mean, that was it. He was like, it's this creature and it can't not be this creature. And they're cannibals. And you guys got a lot of work ahead of you.
Yeah, he does seem sort of just like, oh man, like you would think he would be like, oh shit. Like he's just like, well, this is a Wendigo.
Well, I still feel like
best of luck. You're like, oh, okay, well, great.
I mean, I still feel like even in his position with like the knowledge that he has, I still feel like there's not enough information for him to know that definitively.
Right.
You know,
right.
He has a antler. It could have come from like a diseased deer or something. I mean, it was only slightly weird looking.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't crazy looking.
Yeah. Right? That just didn't make any damn sense to me.
A lot of this movie really didn't. So
I was pretty disappointed with that scene.
Yeah.
I always think it's weird. Like not to like, I didn't want to be like dismissive of the whole notion of it being cultural appropriation and everything, but I sort of understand that. And then I sort of like agreed about that, but in a different way. Like, okay. I don't like when they cast people of Native American descent in these like stereotypical roles where they're like the village elder and they know all about the mythology and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's the magical Negro syndrome, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what the trope is called, where
I know
it's a non-white character who has some sort of ancient magic or, you know, cultural like knowledge about the spirits and everything. Yeah. And it's like,
that's it. 100%.
It's such a shitty trope. I mean,
yeah,
it really is. And I think it's appropriately named because every time you see it, you should feel that kind of, ugh, I don't like that. You know, like, and man, boy, do they just throw it right on the screen in this one?
They do. And it just, I don't know, man. It just like, it feels like such a tired trope. Like not only is it offensive, really is. It not only is it offensive, it's just tired. Like we've seen it so many times.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm saying like you need to be 100% original. There are ways to adapt existing ideas and make them feel fresh, but that's not one of them. That's not one I think we should be trying to make fresh. You know what I mean?
Yeah. How can I make these minorities seem more magical?
Right. It's just
no. I don't know, maybe.
I didn't care for that. Like I said at the beginning, like I love mythology and these you know, the idea of magical creatures, even evil spirits and stuff like that. I think it's fascinating as hell. this is just done so poorly. And like you never get a good look at the monster, and it's very, it's right. very obvious that it's intentional.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that's the whole reason that they didn't do the full transformation scene. You get a sort of a look at him in the mine shaft.
Right.
He's still got Frank's skin draped over his skullish looking face.
Oh yeah, he's wearing like his face is kind of like a hat or like a, I don't know. It's not really a hat because it's more on the front. It's like an improperly worn COVID mask. like very improperly. It's up on his forehead.
Right.
You're like, oh, he's trying to make America great again.
Oh, his nose is hanging out. What's the point?
yeah. I can't breathe. I got a medical condition. All right. All right, Wendigo. Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, I'm completely with you. Like, everything felt rushed in this. Like, even the main character Lucas, like getting picked on at school and stuff. We meet his bully Scott Farkas, doesn't he remind you like of the kid from A Christmas Story though?
Yeah,
like a lot. Like I was like, did that kid time travel? And Lucas is cool though, because he like gets back at him. He puts deer shit or dog shit or something in his backpack.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, way to go, kid. Yeah, man. I mean, and Lucas was still doing some of his homework, which was crazy to me. Like if I was like hunting roadkill every day to try to feed my quickly transforming father and brother, like I think I would just give up on the whole school thing, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But I say that in the loosest sense, like he was doing his homework because they were supposed to write a fairy tale or something. And he looks like Lucas is supposed to be how old, like 8 or 9?
12.
Oh, 12.
Yeah. The kid who plays him's 15.
Really?
Yeah. He's a small fry.
Yeah. That kid needs a sandwich. Jesus. Forget when to go to Wendy's. Get you a Frosty and a Baconator. Like, dude, that kid could sail somewhere on a Baconator. He would fit on the top of the bun. I'm sure of it. But he's 12 and they're supposed to like write a fairy tale or a, you know, something from their culture. And so he starts telling a story from a picture he drew. And I'm like, is he in a remedial class? Like they're like, oh, you colored the whole page in. Good for you. Gold star. Way to go, Lucas. Why do you smell like skunk? Yeah, I don't know. And then also we get, let's see, another secondary character we get Amy Madigan playing the principal, Ellen Booth. Yeah. And I was like, holy shit, it's the lady from Uncle Buck.
Is that what she's
in? Yeah, she's done a ton of other stuff. I mean, she's a great actor as well. But yeah, she's what's her name? Shanice or whatever in Uncle Buck. And so I must have got that right. Thank you, Alexa. So, I mean, yeah, there's no shortage of great actors in this and great performances, but man, the story just ain't there.
I don't know if it
was a bad story or if it just got edited poorly, but it,
I don't know, it, man, I kind of,
it didn't hit.
I have higher expectations for a Del Toro flick, I think.
Yeah.
And this didn't have, it, like, I almost feel like he just did it just to do it. Like maybe it was like an income thing, or maybe he promised somebody he'd do it, or it was a dare. Like,
no, dude, he just produced it though, right?
Oh, I don't know. Let's look.
Because I'm looking, and he's not the director or the writer.
He is a producer. Yes. Yeah. So it's not like fully his vision.
All right. Yeah. So.
Yeah. So I guess that's not fair of me to critique it that way.
Yeah, it was directed by Scott Cooper. Let's see what else he's done, because I don't immediately recognize that name.
Scott Pooper, who are you?
he did Crazy Heart. I've heard good things about that, the Jeff Daniels joint where he's like an aging musician. Director. Here we go. Sorry, I was looking at he did Crazy Heart was the first thing he directed. Out of the Furnace, Black Mass, Hostels, Antlers, and he's in post-production on The Pale Blue Eye.
He was in an episode of The X-Files.
yeah, he looks like he's acted too. He was a Klansman's son, Bobby, in Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me. Bobby, get my hood. Yeah, I don't know. I've not seen any of those other movies, I don't think. But I mean, Johnny Depp, Christian Bale, you know, like they were in those. Like, yeah, I don't know, man. What about the writers? Let's see. Oh, he co-wrote the screenplay with the author of the short story that it's based on, The Quiet Boy.
Yeah, I kind of feel like they should have just left it a short story.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's too long. It should have been a note that says, we're not interested in your work. How long was this movie? Because it also it was an hour 39.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, it didn't feel long.
I know.
It like, it felt like you could have padded some of this stuff in, like, or not padded. Padded's the wrong, leaning the wrong way. You could have fleshed some of this out more completely. But also, with what they had thus far, I don't know that I wanted that even. Like, I don't know. Also, there's not even really any kind of, like rules around the monster.
Yeah.
Really. Like, you know, it's just like,
not very well established.
Right. Like, he became this thing. I mean, do you remember, did Warren Stokes even mention, like, what causes somebody to become one of these?
No. The impression that I got from the movie, this wasn't from the mythology or anything that Warren Stokes expresses, because he says in it that it was, you know, the original one was a lost hunter or traveler or something.
That's right.
Who relented and gave in to his urge to eat human flesh when he had nothing else.
Right on.
Okay. The impression that I got from how it was transmitting in the movie was that there was another Wendigo already, and exposure is what caused this to travel person to person.
Yep. It would very much played like lycanthropy. You get bitten by a Wendigo, you become a Wendigo.
Right.
You know, so, I agree with you, because they are attacked in the meth lab.
A different creature kills the other meth guy lab. Or meth, meth lab guy, rather. Meth guy lab!
Meth guy lab! Well, my powers are explosions. And making your teeth rot. That is right. I forgot that they got attacked in the lab, didn't they? In the abandoned factory that the lab was in.
Yeah, it was an abandoned mine shaft that was attached.
That's right. Yeah.
Some sort of facility, but
some sort of like processing plant.
They find part of his body in the mine, and the other part is dragged out to the woods, which leads you to believe that there's another creature out there.
Right. Yeah, somewhere.
But we never see that. We never, like, just the whole transmission of, like, Wendigo from Wendigo to Wendigo just doesn't make any sense.
It leads to believe that there's another creature out there somewhere.
Yeah, but that we never see it.
Yeah. Well, and then at the end, you kind of get the idea that like you were saying, right, that like Lucas might be infected. Is that what you were getting, or were you getting her brother?
Her brother.
Oh, okay.
Because when the movie ended, Lucas and Julia walk away, and Fat Damon is there with a sling on his arm, and then he's like coughing like excessively into his hand.
That's right.
A little bit of blood.
That's right. Yeah. So he's 100%. Yeah.
So
I forgot that part of the movie.
He's either a Wendigo or he's got consumption.
Yeah, either way. And I mean, this might take place in 1800. I mean, the school was modern, but like there's really, you can't put a time frame on this really. Like,
no.
This might have been in the 80s or it might be today, you know? So who knows? Maybe he's got consumption. They lived in a remote place. They may not have the cure yet. Anyway, I don't know. I guess let's kind of move into final discussion.
So I
don't know. I mean, like nothing was explained in this. Like they even talked about their dad being abusive and but it doesn't go anywhere. Like right. that part of the story doesn't actually go anywhere at all. Like, you know,
no, it just seemed like a weird plot device for her to be able to detect that something was happening with the boy.
Right. Right.
And that didn't sit right with me either.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Congratulations, Felicity. Now you're the magical Negro.
That's such a messed up turn of phrase.
It really is. It really is. It's the same way. I mean, an equally problematic trope is like the white savior, you know, and that and it has an equally cringy name, you know. But yeah, so yeah. So final wrap up, I guess. I think that there was the beginnings of a decent idea here. I kind of want to read the short story now to see if it's enjoyable. Because somebody obviously read it and was like, we could make a movie out of that.
Right.
You know, I don't know. I personally just didn't get it, man. It didn't really tick any boxes for me.
No, it didn't for me either. It's and like we said at the beginning, it wasn't very memorable, obviously. And I don't think I'll remember it even a couple weeks from now.
Right, right. I mean, yeah, I had a really hard time. Like I said, I watched it a week ago and I had a really hard time remembering any of the plot devices, you know. I was looking it up really quick on Rotten Tomatoes. It's pretty consistent. So it's got a 5.9 on IMDb and it's got a 60% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
And then what's the audience score on it? Did you look on Rotten Tomatoes? Let's see. I'm opening it up now to take a look. The audience score is 68%, which I feel is generous.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It wasn't good.
Yeah.
So I was even going to try to look up like some trivia or goofs or anything, but I don't know that I care enough, you know, like,
yeah, just, I don't really either.
I mean, this feels like one of those movies that like years from now, they're going to be glad that they could go, well, you know, I mean, COVID was going on and it was a tough release because of that. And it didn't, we didn't get word of mouth. And, you know, I feel like a lot of movies are doing that now. Like they're like, well, you know, the pandemic really kind of interfered. And I'm like, dude, you're fucking lucky that there's a pandemic so that you can get work in the future. you know? Yeah. I don't know, man. What's your final verdict on this score wise?
I give it maybe a 2 out of 5. It's not horrible. I didn't hate it. It's just not good.
Yeah, I didn't hate it either. It wasn't awful. It was just which is almost worse. Like it's just I'm kind of apathetic to it.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. But yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't recommend watching it.
No,
you know, I think this theme is done a lot better in a lot of other movies, you know. I mean, obviously, like An American Werewolf in London is pretty iconic and stuff, and does the body horror better even and things like that, you know. As far as like movies about this this creature, I'm sure there are others, you know. Looking at them, they all seem, I do vaguely recall seeing Ravenous from 1999, and I don't remember if I really liked that or not, but I do remember seeing it. I think it deals with this as well.
Oh, a Wendigo story?
I believe so. Cause maybe not. Maybe it's not completely that. Maybe it's more about cannibalism, you know, in the wilderness.
Yeah.
But I can't remember if it takes that turn. I Googled Wendigo movies and it came up and I remember seeing it and thinking it was okay, but I can't you know, but again, I saw it probably back in 2000. So it's probably been 20 years since I watched it at least. Yeah. So it says it says in the storyline that George warns that since Colquane, or I don't know how you, I can't remember how you say his last name, admits to eating human flesh, he must be a Wendigo. So, yeah, so I think it just, it deals with the thought of that a little bit. But, yeah, it's got Guy Pearce and Robert Carlyle, Jeremy Davies, Jeffrey Jones, and David Arquette in it. Hmm. Yeah, so go check that out if you want to watch something about cannibalism or whatever. Yeah, so I don't know, man. Any parting thoughts for us?
Nah, man. It's it is what it is. It's not a great
right.
Excuse me, not a great movie. That yawn says it all.
Yep, I concur completely. So, yeah, man. I don't know that I got anything else to say about.
I don't either. I was trying to find antlers. Kind of interesting.
Yeah, like a wrap up point, but I think we'll leave you all on how this movie left us feeling and just say, oh, we're done. All right, man. I'll talk to you later.
Later.
Greeting the Nerd was recorded and produced by Zach Boyd and Tim Witham in Dayton, Ohio. If you liked our show, subscribe, rate, share, and review on Apple Podcasts or other platforms. For questions, comments, or ideas, drop us an email at gradingthenerdpodcast@gmail.com. As always, Anchor members can send us a voicemail. Our theme music was composed by Kevin MacLeod. You can find all of his credits and links in our show notes. Come back for more, and we'll see you next time on Grading the Nerd.